eaten.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have released 12 of the 19 missionaries taken hostage 6 weeks ago. The release comes after a promise from Seoul to withdraw troops and cease missionary activity. The remaining hostages are expected to be released by tomorrow. Radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has suspended actions of his Mahdi army for 6 months and has claimed they will no longer attack U.S. and coalition forces. According to a Sadr aide, the anti-American cleric wants to reorganize the Mahdi army and rehabilitate it after breaking into factions. Coalition forces killed more than 100 Afghani militants today following an attack on a coalition envoy in Kandahar. One Afghan soldier was killed and 6 others wounded. There were no reports of civilian casualties. Also in Afghanistan, a suicide bomber attacked a bridge under construction in an eastern province, killing 3 U.S. soldiers. 6 other American troops were wounded. President Bush is in the Gulf Coast region today, marking the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The president visited a charter school in New Orleans, where he said better days are ahead. He will also visit Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, while in the region. The former Prime Minister of Pakistan said that Pervez Musharraf will step down as head of the military before the next presidential election. Officials say the decision is a significant step forward in a power-sharing deal with Pakistan's opposition government. Greek firefighters announced today that they have gained control over wildfires that have killed 63 people in recent days. The government has been hit with accusations of incompetence for their handling of the situation. After detaining them in a central Baghdad hotel last night, U.S. troops this morning released 8 captive Iranians, turning them over to Iraqi authorities. The U.S. said they were arrested for carrying guns without the necessary permits. The Washington Post reports President Bush is poised to ask Congress for another $50 billion to fund the Iraq War. Congress has thus far allocated $607 billion for the 2008 Pentagon budget. An internal Army investigation faults trainers at Fort Hood, Texas, for the June death of an Iraq War veteran during maneuvers. 24 other soldiers were hospitalized during the grueling training exercises. 8 trainers may face criminal charges. In Idaho, a wildfire is roaring toward Sun Valley Ski Resort, fed by high winds and soaring temperatures. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's a major but not unexpected development. The deadly bird flu has mutated so it can be passed on from person to person. The UN has long predicted a devastating international pandemic. Researchers at NOAA are blaming human activity as the biggest reason for record-breaking warm temperatures last year in 48 states. NASA today will release its internal investigation into reports astronauts were intoxicated before launches. Officials say they are optimistic the report will indicate the problem was minor. The College Board says math and reading SAT scores this year were the lowest in 8 years. The board attributes the poor high school senior scores to a more diverse group of test takers. The test was changed 2 years ago. Pharmacy benefits manager Medco will acquire diabetes specialist PolyMedica for $1.2 billion. The deal is expected to increase Medco's diabetic client base by 1 million customers. Share of Dillard's department store chain fell 3.5% after it announced a quarterly loss of more than $25 million. The Arkansas-based company noted a drop in sales. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.55 a barrel. Gold is trading at $674.40 an ounce. Wall Street has rebounded today. The Dow is up 174 points. NASDAQ up 41. S&P 500 up 20. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner. ¶¶
from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, time to get the hell up, time to wake up, wake up. 1, 2, 1, 2, get out of bed. What's wrong with you? It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Why are you still in bed? You got to get up. You got to get your morning exercise. You got to get your ablutions going. You got to get all this stuff in and out, in and out. 1, 2, 1, 2, hey, hey. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, actually. Good afternoon if you're in Europe or someplace listening to the show. And we have people listening to the show from all over the world. All over the state and all over the country. My roommate was bugging me about, you know, how do you say wake up when everybody's already awake on the East Coast? What's wrong with you? Why can't you say that? And I said, well, you know, it's kind of a joke, you know. And also, I keep forgetting to let people know, really, also when I say wake up, I don't just mean wake up in the physical sense. I mean wake up in the metaphorical sense. Wake up to the fact that you're being ripped off every single day. But for those of you who have never heard me before, my name is Joe Vecchio. This is the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I am the voice of the working man's thinking man. I am a working person who works or was working a regular job. There's been some issues with that job lately. It just hasn't paid enough, so I get to find something else. This, God knows, I don't make any money from the radio show. Well, that's not entirely true. I do get the occasional donation, which is very nice and unnecessary. Even though I do have, you know, money issues at this point in time, and any donation is welcome. The fact of the matter is that the onus should not be on you listeners and my friends and stuff like that. The onus should be on the people who have lots of money, who can afford to sponsor the show, buy ads, or sponsor the radio network, but simply don't do it because, you know, they have no idea of the import of radio as a means for spreading the message. It's an issue I've talked about time and time again, about how the right will take care of its people, but the left will not. I've had those experiences before with the left where they always want you to volunteer and mostly help them raise money, but volunteer your time, volunteer your money, give, but when it comes to, hey, listen, I can use a little help, they're like, well, you know, say, here we go, to support the cause, you know, and after a while it's like, why am I doing this? So why do I do this radio show? Well, simply because I still feel that things have to be said. And we're trying. Our good friend Bob Kincaid out there in West Virginia is recruiting people to be sponsors and for advertising, and we'll see what happens along those lines. But in the meantime, I got to do what I want to do. So my point is that when I say I'm a working guy, I'm not kidding. I'm not, you know, because there's some guys that get on the radio that pretend to be right wing and left. So I'm not gonna make any distinctions there. Who sit there and they say, I'll speak for the common man. And meanwhile, they've got 6 college degrees and, you know, never earned less than $80,000 a year in their life. And they consider that to be, oh, my God, how can you live on less than $80,000 a year? I have never made more than, I think, $25,000 a year in my entire life. Never. And in the last few years, it's been even worse because I had to deal with my wife's illness. And when she came over, she had 2 kids with her from a previous marriage, and I wanted to be with her so much that, yeah, I wanted the kids too, and that's love for you, I guess. But it was a financial situation I simply wasn't ready for. So, yeah, I've been doing very badly for the last few years, and I'm just hoping to pull myself out of that. And it's not easy because I don't get any real serious help from people who can afford to do it. And again, it's not like I don't want you to donate, or it's not like I don't like donations. It's just that, you know, it really shouldn't come from you guys, and that's the point I like to try to make. So, and here in Chicago, it is living up to its nickname, the Windy City. Of course, Windy really doesn't refer to the wind that comes around. It refers to our politicians. Chicago is famous for its political machines, among many other things. And Chicago is one of the most beautiful cities. I was really surprised. I moved up here last year to make a new life for myself after my wife passed away. And I had never been to Chicago before. I knew very little about it apart from some of the gangster stuff. You know, everybody hears about the gangster stuff, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, things like that. And, you know, and it's kind of part of Chicago's history and all that, true. But there were some things that really surprised me about Chicago. And the first thing is, it is one of the greenest cities in the country. It has more parks than any big city in the country. It has more trees than any big city in the country. And it really surprised me. It also has, and I kind of sort of knew this, it also has some of the most beautiful architecture in the country. Some of the most beautiful designs on buildings. If you go downtown, and even not downtown, even if you just go, say, up and down Clark Street, Clark Avenue, Street or Avenue, I really don't know. You know, that's another thing about Chicago, is that they generally don't use Street or Avenue. I mean, they're officially on there, but, you know, people just know by the number and by the name of the street where they're at. You know, I live at 5400 North Clark, and people know, you know, where that is, because, you know, if they live here for a while, because it's a grid. At any rate, Chicago has some really, really beautiful architecture, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful city. It really is. It doesn't deserve, it's got a reputation of being a kind of, you know, urban blight type of deal, but there's really, you know, I know there's sections that are like that. But it really doesn't deserve that reputation very much. Certainly not on the north side, anyways. The south side's got a really nasty reputation. In fact, the south side, I've discovered, is where a lot of people go to do documentaries about, you know, urban blight and, you know, how tough black people have it and all that stuff. And it's the poor neighborhood, and it's very typical of racial division in this country. And you see in a lot of cities where the north side is basically for the white people and the south side is basically for the black people. It was that way in Atlanta. It was that way in Orlando. You had a certain line that you crossed, and you knew that this was the black neighborhood and this was the white neighborhood. And it's wrong that we do that, but that's what we do, unfortunately. And what do I want? I want to change the world. How I do it with this radio show, I'm not really sure, but I want to change the world. I want something different. More than just, you know, we talk about electing Democrats and all that stuff, you know, and that's all well and good, but you know what? This is not about the health and vitality of the Democratic Party. This is not even necessarily about the health and vitality of the United States of America. This is about the health and vitality of the human race. And that's what it's really all about. When it comes to talking about working people, we live in a global economy. Okay? Even though people still use different currencies, the economy is global, and we have to learn to really deal with that situation. And the best way to handle that is to have a situation where you have labor standards that are standard throughout the entire world. Too many countries nowadays, too many companies nowadays, and companies have a much bigger say over how your life is run than you might be aware of. Though if you listen regularly, you'd be more aware of it. Companies will just simply move to where they can find less regulations, less taxation, and cheaper labor force. Because, you know, a lot of people in the business, they really don't want to do anything. They want to get other people to do the work. That's how they work. That's how they make money. It's kind of a variation on what General Patton said. The object isn't to go out there and work for a living. The object is to go out there and get some other poor bastard to work for your living. And if they can do it more cheaply, hey, that's the way they do it. If they can have slave labor, they'd have that. No problem. We also take phone calls on this show. And if you want to call and talk to me, the number is 304-658-5453. You can discuss anything. I have pretty open mic policy. You can also call a toll-free number, 877-443-2366. Again, 304-658-5453. If you've got free cell phone minutes, use them on that. In the meantime, let's go to our first break. We got to pay whatever bills we've got. And we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, the Horn.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
And we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show once again. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio. Voice of the working man, speaking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, real quick, the numbers to call in. If you want to call in, if you want to talk to me, and I have an open mic policy, 304-658-5453, 304-658-5453, the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. You can call in and talk to me about pretty much anything. If you're a winger, a hardcore right-winger wanting to spew propaganda, don't bother. I don't do that stuff here. You know, this is Head On Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen. And all of our hosts have different ways of dealing with guests. Our good friend Bob Kincaid, my boss, who's busy producing the show today, he will gladly welcome right-wingers on his show and talk to them and be nice to them. Me, My idea of an argument is taking my baseball bat and cracking a few skulls with right wingers these days. Is that mean? Is that vicious? Yes, it is mean and it is vicious. But you know what? I've lost patience with these people, and I will discuss things with them from a philosophical, from a theoretical, from all these points of view. I'll have meaningful, serious discussions with them when they're out of power and unable to hurt people anymore. Because that's what conservatives do. That's what the right wing does. They hurt people. They hurt people in many ways. They steal from them. They let them die by attrition, and they just, when that doesn't work, they just go out there and kill them. Conservatives have been a problem in this country ever since the beginning. As I said time and time again, conservatives were for the British during the Revolutionary War. They were for the slave owners during the Civil War. And this is not about Democrats and Republicans, because they kind of switch back and forth from time to time. But ever since Teddy Roosevelt left the party, the Republican Party has been nothing but the party of rich, wealthy people who have more money than they know what to do with. Teddy Roosevelt said in one of his speeches, and it's still one of my favorite quotes, that the struggle, that progress is the constant struggle between those who possess more than they have earned and those who have earned more than they possess. And we're living in that struggle right now, because if you look at a lot of people up at the top 1%, the top 2% of this country, they haven't earned that money. No one gets that money without doing some immoral or illegal things. And just another example of how things are in this country, and just the problem with our attitude. I was in a non-political chat room that I frequent from time to time, and a nice young lady that I know there, married, just announced that she is pregnant with her second child. Second or third? I'm not sure. At any rate, she's a nice lady, and she was, of course, as mothers are, very, very happy and very proud. And she lives in British Columbia, Canada. And they were asking her, about taking time off, because a lot of us in this chat room are from the States, but of course we have people from all over the world there. And she's saying, well, you know, she'll get 15 weeks maternity leave paid, then another 35 weeks of parental weeks paid. That's almost a year of paid time off. It's something like 55% of her entire salary, but still, it's something where the Canadian government, and this is coming from the government, that the Canadian government recognizes the value of raising children. And she was like, you know, I know it's tougher for you guys in the States. And I said, yeah, you know, if you get pregnant in this country, you know, basically their attitude is, you know, you're on your own, good night. And it just goes to show the difference. I mean, healthcare is one issue of many. I mean, it's a serious issue, and it's an issue I talk about from time to time. And I knew when Clinton first proposed his healthcare program back in the 90s, and talked about you know all the things that needed to be done, I knew it was going to be defeated, because the right wing propaganda machine was just ready to get rolling on that. And of course, the insurance companies spent tens of millions of dollars fighting this, because they knew that if they won, they would make hundreds of million dollars in return. See, this is how the right thinks. This is how the right thinks and compared to the way the left thinks. The right considers these things an investment. They don't put money into it unless they think they can get a lot of stuff out of it in the long run. Buying politicians, you know, that's what they do, because they know that they could spend, you know, a few million here and there on a particular congressman who will turn around and use legislation that will help them get hundreds of million dollars in business. And that's what the insurance company did. But I also knew that eventually there would be a backlash against it, because you know what? The private industry doesn't handle certain things very well at all. And really, there are certain things that really should be above and beyond the profit motive. I mean, you know, I'm a capitalist. I'm all for capitalism. I think, capitalism has raised living standards for a lot of people, but there's a dark side to capitalism that people who are fans of it simply will not admit. They'll sit there and point to, well, you got 47 brands of toothpaste, 47 flavors of toothpaste, why isn't that such a bad thing? But they don't like to talk about, you know, companies shutting down and moving to another country to pay people pennies an hour. They don't want to talk about the pollution that businesses do and that they don't want to be held responsible for. They don't want to talk about companies like Enron that basically exist for the sole purpose of ripping people off. They don't want to talk about how when companies get that kind of control, they start lowering the bar for everybody, lowering the standards for everybody else. Over the last 30 years, as Republican and corporate propaganda has been prevalent, we've been working harder and harder, making less and less money for less and less benefits, and the medical industry is one way we're seeing that. Me, I've got a problem with my shoulder that I would love to get taken a look at. I've got type 2 diabetes. I've got things that I would, you know, really do need to see a doctor regularly about it. But you know what? I simply can't afford it. I can barely afford to pay my rent right now. And I'm one of, and I'm not just speaking to sound bad like I'm, I got a poor Joe, he doesn't have, you know, and the truth of the matter is I still got it better than a lot of other people in this country. But when you have situations, and it was mentioned in the movie Sicko, which I haven't seen, not because I don't want to see it, but simply because I don't need to see it. It's preaching to the choir to me. I already know there's a serious problem, so there's no really need for me to have it reinforced. It'll just get me angrier anyway. About that lady, I think she was in California, who was in the emergency room, but and on the floor in obvious great pain, but they wouldn't see her. You know, they claim, well, you know, we'd already dealt with her. And they tried to call another emergency. They tried to call an ambulance from the emergency room. And the woman eventually wound up dying in the emergency room. And all of it was because she was indigent, didn't have the money to care for that. And that's just wrong. And we have a lot of people in this country whose attitude is, well, if she can't afford it, then she deserves to die. You know what? You ought to be smacked around. People like you who think that way ought to be smacked around if you can't afford it. And yet, and all these people, all these idiots, they'll talk about freedom and individuality and all all this stuff about earning and stuff like that. Then they turn around and they elect politicians who haven't earned a damn thing. They'll elect people like George W. Bush, who never has worked a serious day in his life, who's always been insulated from every mistake he's made. You sit there and support CEOs who ruin their companies, run them into the ground, fire lots of people just to make the company look more profitable. Because, you know, when you see these massive layoffs, what they're really trying to do is to say, well, you see, we increased our profits. Basically, they didn't increase their profits. They cut down their expenses by firing people. Makes them look good to the shareholders. And then doing everything they can to, keep you from getting medical care. You know, basically, they just want to keep you chained to that job. And they haven't earned any of that. They're just stealing it. And the problem we have is that we on the left don't understand the importance of as George Bush put it, catapulting the propaganda. Although what I say here is not really propaganda. I mean, it's certainly ideological in its viewpoint, but you don't need to listen to me to understand what's going on. I mean, I'm not the only one talking about how lousy the healthcare system is in this country. Okay, and that's the plain truth. You experience it every day. You don't need me to tell you about it. I'm just here to remind you about it. That's all. Hey, we got the bottom of the hour. We've got the WINS news, the Workers Independent News, coming up. Again, if you want to call, 304-658-5453. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
With an eye toward the presidential election as Labor Day approaches, AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says workers and their unions will mount an unprecedented political effort to elect a government that will really reform America in the interests of working families. Sweeney announced a major health care reform campaign, vowing to build a million-person army of activists to campaign for progressive, comprehensive health care reform.
Health care is the top domestic issue for our members and for all Americans. And the AFL-CIO is making the 2008 election a mandate on fixing our broken system. We will elect a president and a Congress prepared to turn their campaign promises into reality.
Gene Tome, an Ohio retail worker, joined Sweeney as he announced the health care reform campaign. Tome has no health insurance because she can't afford it.
It's hard to believe that a person gets to be my age in this country and is afraid to go to the doctor because they don't know how they're going to pay for it. This is one of the richest countries in the world. What has brought us to this?
The AFL-CIO believes that with a 2008 political mobilization much stronger than its very successful elections push in 2006, real reform across a range of issues is possible. Heather Booth heads the Federation's health care campaign.
If there is that kind of effort mobilized, then we think that this is reform that can be won in the first term of a new administration.
Booth says labor will recruit big employers to join the health care reform movement.
We hope to engage them and through the unions and the Federation itself to recruit employers as allies in this campaign for reform.
Two major unions have endorsed candidates in the Democratic presidential primary. James Brunkenhafer, National Legislative Director for the United Transportation Union, says Senator Hillary Clinton won his union's endorsement because she supports working family interests, and the UTU has a history of supporting the Clintons that goes back to the 70s.
Our goal is to change the party that represents the White House. And as of today, looking towards the future, looks like that Hillary Clinton would have that best chance.
The International Association of Firefighters has endorsed Senator Chris Dodd. Union President Harold Schaeferger says Dodd's record of support for working people and for issues the firefighters are concerned about stands head and shoulders above all the other candidates. Brunkenhafer says that after the primary season is over, labor will unite behind a single candidate.
When we get to a nominee, and that looks like it's going to be about the first week in February, I'm sure we'll all roll up our sleeves and buy each other a cup of coffee or a beer, and we'll go on and try to win in November.
The Teamsters on Wednesday filed suit for an emergency injunction to block the Bush administration from opening the U.S. border to Mexican trucks. The union says the trucks are unsafe. A pilot program allowing Mexican trucks into the U.S. is set to start in 3 days. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Cup of Joe Radio Show. I like the WINS news. I like listening to that. It's got some good, you know, and it's more spin that you want to hear. And it's like I was saying in the beginning, it's one of those things that we do very badly. And we just don't understand that we tend to throw away good money after bad. Is that how that saying goes? We tend to not use our money very intelligently when we have it. I mean, the right, as I've said thousands of times before, they'll throw $1 million at an organization and say, do what you need to do. The left will give you $50,000 and demand accountability for every penny. Count every paperclip, you know. We don't understand. But health care, you know, like Mr. Sweeney said, health care is probably the number one domestic issue for people in this country now. There are other issues that are strikingly important, of course, the Iraq War and all that. But, you know, one of the things I told that lady I mentioned who's having her baby and the government is going to help, you know, take care of her so that she has, you know, an opportunity to raise her baby well. And the reason that their government can do that is because their government isn't wasting billions and billions of our tax dollars, of their tax dollars, to kill brown people on the other side of the world because a few richer people want to get even richer. You know, all this talk when the Republicans talk about, you know, no taxes, no taxes. First of all, they don't mean no taxes for people like you and me. because we haven't seen a significant change in our tax rate. In fact, it's probably gone up when you compare it to the cost of living. And just in regular terms. When Bush got into office in 2000, I challenged people. I said, hang on to a pay stub from this day. Then 4 years from now, when the election comes up again, take that pay stub and compare it to a pay, you know, your most recent pay stub, and see if you're paying any more or less taxes, either as a pure number or as a percentage of your income. And you tell me if, based on that, that George W. Bush is worth being reelected, especially if they're still talking about lower taxes, lower taxes. The truth of the matter is, they just want the people, the corporations and the people on top to pay far less taxes so that you and I have to subsidize them. We have to pick up that slack. And where does that money go? Well, they're just going to announce another $50 billion for Iraq after how many billions of dollars we've spent there already? And yet he doesn't want to spend any money to give children health care, threatening to veto laws that help people. There's no money for the victims of Katrina unless, of course, it's going to somebody, you know, one crony, some crony down there who's making a killing off the people dying. And, of course, it's all just a big land grab anyway. The Republican Party is nothing but a big scam, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats have their problems, and I'm not going to sit there and be an apologist for the Democrats, but you know what? The Republican Party is just a big scam. They've turned everything into a scam. Insurance is a scam. I've believed that for a long time. All insurance is a scam. I've gotten to the conclusion right now that work is a scam. You're not working for yourself. You're working to make other people rich, to increase other people's livelihoods. And that's the sad part of it. And I was talking to Brent Caldwell, who was the chief of communications for the Teamsters at the Yearly Coast Convention. And if you go to my blog, cupofjoe.blogspot.com, and go to the Yearly Coast post there, you can listen to my interview with him. And he said it exactly right. If we want to make it better for American workers, we have to help make it better for workers around the world. The best protection for an American worker is having worker-friendly environments everywhere around the globe, and not this race to the bottom that we're currently having. And to my friends in the South, I love you to death, but you know what? The South is a major cause for all this, because the South does not have a huge union tradition. The South has a tradition of basically feudal, agrarian atmosphere, where some people have simply assumed that they have the money and they deserve it. And you have that attitude where, you know, the rich people are the rich and they have it and that's that and you should just accept it. And you know, my attitude is bull. You don't have to accept it. You can fight back. You can stand up for yourself. But every time they try to do that, somebody comes around and tells them it's communism. Or it's again God. God don't want you to do that. You got to pay more attention to God. And we really, of course, it means give more money to the church. Give more money to the church. You're being ripped off. When I moved to Georgia, I first heard the term right-to-work state. This is a right-to-work state. And I couldn't understand what they mean. As if, like, what, is it illegal to work anywhere else? And in theory, what they mean is that you have the right to work and not be harassed by unions. But the reality is that you have the right to basically be dismissed from your job for any reason, at any time, with no accountability. And they take our work ethic, which is, in general, a very good work ethic, because, you know, all of us, including me, when we go to work, we want to do a good job. But they make it impossible for us to do a good job. They make it impossible for us to have a worthwhile working experience where we're helping to make a company profitable and we're helping ourselves to make a better life for ourselves and our future. They make it very difficult, because what they basically want is for us to get just enough so that we don't starve to death. Or just enough so that we have a pretense of freedom and independence, but that job is a ball and chain. And when you're afraid to lose your job, you'll believe anything. And there are some people who buy into the propaganda. They just buy it hook, line, and sinker, man. That working guy, that one time, I'll never forget, I was having lunch in the cafeteria at a place where I was working, and the guy was filling the soda machines, and we got to talking, and for some reason the conversation got onto Election Day, and I said, well, you know, Election Day ought to be a holiday to give more people time to vote, and he just, shh, you have too much time off these days. Are you kidding me? Americans work harder, longer hours than any industrialized country in the free world. We used to talk about how the Japanese would work like crazy. The Japanese, you know, we work harder than them. We're more productive than they are. That's the term they use, productivity. I hate that term. Every time I hear an economist use that term, I want to go up there and punch him in the mouth. And whenever you hear an economist use that term, you ought to go in there and punch him in the mouth, or her, or it. Because what they mean by productivity is that you work harder and harder and make less and less money. It's how much they can squeeze out of you. That's productivity. That's what they mean by productivity. By that token, the most productive people in the world are slaves. Because they're not getting paid. And all you have to do is throw them in a shack and toss some enough food their way so that they don't die. That's productivity. And we buy into that, unfortunately. If you look at Europe, the French, the Germans, the British, they get 4, 6, 8 weeks paid vacation a year. 8 weeks. 6 weeks. I've known people who work for places for 20 or 30 years that don't get any more than 2 weeks paid vacation a year. That's ridiculous. And you know, the crux of the movie Sicko, when going back to the healthcare part of it, the crux of the movie Sicko is not so much that there's a lot of people uninsured in this company, because there are, but the fact that even the people who are paying huge amounts of money for insurance aren't getting the care that they deserve. Because it's not about making healthy people, it's about making a few people money. That's what it's all about. Franklin Roosevelt, great president, talked about wealth distribution and about what happens when you have very few people having a whole bunch of money, which is what we have in this country now, back to pre-New Deal days, basically, pretty much. He said, we found out not only is it bad policy from a moral point of view, it's also bad policy from an economic point of view. But they don't even realize that a situation like that isn't even good for them in the long run. And if they keep it up, things get worse and worse and worse. The French Revolution didn't happen overnight. It was a series of events taking a long, long time that people finally got fed up enough with. I'm not saying that's going to happen here in this country, but you know what? Things get bad and you don't know what's going to happen. Now, people who listen to my show on a regular basis know I get pretty violent about certain things. Like I like to say, I've got a bat with so many names on it, I had to get another bat. And I say that because I recognize that there's a part of the labor movement, an important part, back about 100 years ago. And one of the reasons why we got some of the things that we got that we take for granted now, overtime hours, child labor laws, things like that, is because people took to the streets with baseball bats and cracked skulls when they had to. I'm not advocating it, but if it's going to come right down to it, let's get right down to it. I just advocate general strikes at this point. All this ideological talk about motor of the world. You're the motor of the world, baby. Nothing gets done without you out there. And the only reason we haven't put our foot down and showed them is because too many of us can't afford to make that sacrifice. You've got children to feed. But I still say it won't be as bad as you think. If everybody helps each other out, we'll show these guys who makes the real money in this country. Because they don't make a penny without you, ladies and gentlemen. They don't make a penny without you. And for those of you who are asking questions about it, because I'm already getting questions, when I say I've got names on the bat, it means names of potential victims, not names of people I've already hit, because I haven't hit anybody. Not yet. And I hope I never do. I hope it never comes to that. But the names on the bat are names of people who deserve a good whack in the skull. Although in some cases, you wouldn't be doing any damage because you wouldn't be hitting any vital organs. Let's take our last break. Last chance to call in, 304-658-5453. 877-443-2366. We'll be back with the last segment of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. If you don't think Bush is going to bomb Iran, well, then you're not paying attention. On Tuesday at the American Legion Convention, Bush ramped up the belligerent rhetoric. It was billed as another Iraq war speech, but it was actually an Iran war speech. Calling Iran the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, Bush claimed that Iran's pursuit of technology that could be used for nuclear weapons raises the shadow of a nuclear holocaust. He vowed in unmistakable language to confront this danger before it's too late. He also blamed Iran for a lot of the violence in Iraq, and he announced that he's authorized our military commanders in Iraq to confront Tehran's murderous activities. The same day as the speech, the U.S. military arrested six representatives of the Iranian government in Baghdad. They'd been invited there by the Iraqi Electricity Ministry. They were later freed. Bush and Cheney are spinning the propaganda wheel faster and faster, just as they did in the lead-up to the Iraq War. We've seen this horror movie before, and I don't want to see it again. Congress must act now to preempt Bush and Cheney from waging yet another reckless, illegal war. Assuming, that is, that they'll obey. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please, because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, Bob.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head-on with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Got a police dog craving for a fight.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. Sing it. All right, Cup of Joe Radio Show. We're back. Last segment. Sometimes these hours go by way too fast for me. I got about 10 minutes or so to talk. Last chance to call in if you want to call in. 304-658-5453-877-4. Head on, 877-443-2366. Talk to me. I like to talk to people. That's very important for me. And as Bob mentioned in the Bob Kincaid mentioned in the last segment there, we are a conversation radio. We don't do confrontation radio. We don't just go in there and want guests to come on and talk sound bites. We want you to talk. We want you to lay out your information there. But just talking about things in general and mentioning what Mitha Rothschild was talking about Iran. And, yeah, we're ramping up to go to war. You know, we have an economy that's built on war. That's a lot of the problem. Prior to Pearl Harbor, this country was very isolationist. And there were a lot of people, mostly conservatives in this country, who didn't want us to get involved in the war in Asia, didn't want us to get involved in the war in Europe. You know, that's other people's business. It doesn't affect us. Blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, Pearl Harbor came and kicked us in the ass, showed us that we really do live in a global world where things that we do, policies that we make, do eventually come back to have an effect on us. And then once we went all rah, rah, rah for war and we got things taken care of, these people realized how much money there was to be made by war. President Eisenhower, one of the few Republicans I have any respect for, Eisenhower and Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. Those are my three Republican presidents. Everybody else you can throw in the toilet as far as I'm concerned. But Eisenhower, who was a great general and a great leader of men, who was responsible for defeating the Nazis and defeating fascism in World War II, he was very clear about it. And he had a term for it, military-industrial complex, man. And that's also, they've added to that, a propaganda wing. Fox News, millions of radio stations, thousands, however many radio stations there are across the country. And that's been a big deal, the radio stations, because that's where they really catapult the propaganda. And that's why the Head On Radio Network is so important, because we want to get to that point where we're getting into people's workplaces and we're getting into people's cars and we're telling them every day that they're getting ripped off. And that's exactly what's happening to you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea. Is you're getting ripped off. The Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their financial backers are sitting in your house right now with a gun to your head, taking money out of your wallet. That's exactly what they're doing from a metaphorical point of view. And the only protection you have against that is to stand up against them in unison, is to have millions and millions of your brother and sister's workers standing right there with a gun pointed to their head, because again, as I said, they don't make a penny without you. You don't know that yet, and you don't realize that yet, because you've been told otherwise. You've been taken advantage of. Your work ethic, your sense of loyalty to your country, your sense of duty to your workplace and to your country, your sense of patriotism, all of that has been taken advantage of. Your sense of faith, your sense of belief has been taken advantage of by people who just want the money. And they understand the import of propaganda. And they use it very well. What I do isn't propaganda, as I've said. And anybody else here on the network, from John Fox, Dr. Bill O'Brien, our good friend Bob Kincaid, Mr. Seaton at America Back on Track. Everybody on the Head On Radio Network. We don't do propaganda in the sense that we're advocating for a particular party or particular political cause. We just want to make a better world for everybody. I'm a Democrat nominally, but I don't blindly support them, and I'll scream and yell at them if they're not doing what I think is right. If I have a pet issue, the pet issue is the election issue, because you can't get anything done unless you have accurate and free elections, because I have confidence that the people in this country, that enough of them anyway, will do the right thing if they're allowed to. But if the elections are rigged, and they have been rigged quite a bit with these black box voting machines, it's hard for us to have our voice made. And it makes politicians less accountable to us. And along with that, getting the money out of politics as much as you possibly can. The grassroots, the Netroots on the left, just raised over $100,000 for a very nice candidate out in Washington State. And I'm thinking to myself, that's wonderful for her, but where's that money going to go? She's going to use it to pay TV ad time. So that money's going to the TV stations and the radio stations. And they're going to use it to propagandize against us. But you've been brainwashed. And what are we? We're the intervention. That's what we are. We're the intervention. And we need to get in more outlets. So if you're listening for the first time on iTunes, tell more people about it. If you're listening and you know somebody who can sponsor the show or sponsor the network, talk to them. Get them involved. If you want to really help, you'll do a lot more by helping us. I'm sorry, I sound like a damn PBS commercial. And I hate it when PBS does that, and I don't really like doing it myself, but it just gets very frustrating when you try to do this day in and day out, and you know, and you still got to worry about paying your rent and stuff like that. And that's what life is about for most of us. Unlike on the right, I'm not looking to make $1 million. I'm just looking to try to make a better world for people. And if I can do that and support myself at the same time, I'm a very happy person. Whatever. It makes it sound like I'm just being selfish and greedy about it, but I'm just, you know, I just want to alert people to certain realities. And the reality is that the system we have now is basically ripping you off. It's gotten to the point where everything is a scam. You go to work, and what does it mean? The people at my current workplace, you know, I look at them and I think, where are they going with their lives? Some of them have been working there 3 or 4 years. And are their lives any better? Not really. Not really. I'm not saying, you know, I want people to stay at home and be lazy and do nothing and get lots of money for it. I'm saying that when people do go out and work, they ought to get what they deserve. They ought to get the money that they deserve, and they ought to be able to support their family. As President Clinton used to say, if you work hard and play by the rules, you ought to get ahead and not fall behind. Something to that effect. And the Republicans didn't get this way overnight. They got this way because a few very, very wealthy people about 30 years ago and even longer felt that they needed to catapult their own propaganda, and they invested their time and their money, and they made sure their people were well taken care of. And we just simply don't do that, and we don't understand that. That there's a practical reality to things that need to be done. And all too often, we find ourselves just being afraid. We find ourselves reacting to them instead of striking at them. And it's going to take time for us to get it back. And we've got a good start to a certain extent. But the problem, as I've said, with the regular blogosphere along those lines is that they tend to be too self-centered. And that they're preaching to the choir. They're only reaching those who are already in agreement with them. We got to get out there, and we got to get in, and we got to get into Peoria, for crying out loud. Will it play in Peoria? We won't know unless we're out there, will we? And I got to bring the show to an end. I got to stop all this whining at the last hour, half at last quarter hour of the show. I got to stop all the whining. Why can't we just get along? Cover Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, our good friend and my boss, Bob Kincaid, running the show from the studios out there in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news about Katrina and the Mississippi Gulf Coast. If you missed the show, if you're just tuning in now and you missed it, you can listen to the archives on the White Rose Society. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. America Back on Track with Tony Seaton follows on all of your Head On Radio Network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, get back to work.
Anything on, I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do. Retreat to the carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Shore. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Cade, running the show over in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have released 12 of the 19 missionaries taken hostage 6 weeks ago. The release comes after a promise from Seoul to withdraw troops and cease missionary activity. The remaining hostages are expected to be released by tomorrow. Radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has suspended actions of his Mahdi army for 6 months and has claimed they will no longer attack U.S. and coalition forces. According to a Sadr aide, the anti-American cleric wants to reorganize the Mahdi army and rehabilitate it after breaking into factions. Coalition forces killed more than 100 Afghani militants today following an attack on a coalition envoy in Kandahar. One Afghan soldier was killed and 6 others wounded. There were no reports of civilian casualties. Also in Afghanistan, a suicide bomber attacked a bridge under construction in an eastern province, killing 3 U.S. soldiers. 6 other American troops were wounded. President Bush is in the Gulf Coast region today, marking the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The president visited a charter school in New Orleans, where he said better days are ahead. He will also visit Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, while in the region. The former Prime Minister of Pakistan said that Pervez Musharraf will step down as head of the military before the next presidential election. Officials say the decision is a significant step forward in a power-sharing deal with Pakistan's opposition government. Greek firefighters announced today that they have gained control over wildfires that have killed 63 people in recent days. The government has been hit with accusations of incompetence for their handling of the situation. After detaining them in a central Baghdad hotel last night, U.S. troops this morning released 8 captive Iranians, turning them over to Iraqi authorities. The U.S. said they were arrested for carrying guns without the necessary permits. The Washington Post reports President Bush is poised to ask Congress for another $50 billion to fund the Iraq War.